I get the pleasure of introducing my mother-in-law this morning. I'm not going to make eye contact with her because I'll probably start crying. She is one of my favorite people in the whole wide world. So I'll just read her little bio and then our fun Mad Libs we've been doing. So she is a licensed marriage and family therapist with a private practice in California and Idaho and supports missionaries around the globe via telehealth as well. She's an ordained minister. She was a missionary with her family for 20 years in Tajikistan and Turkey. She is married to her husband, Tim Austin. He is a life and leadership coach and ordained minister. They live currently in Nampa, Idaho. And their fab family includes one husband, two married kids, two adopted kids, one college kid, and three grandkids. Our kids, she said, are our connection to grace. So, yeah, me and everybody that you guys know that we go to grace. And then her favorite activities are family time, camping, coffee, stand-up paddleboarding, kayaking, fly fishing, paper craft, reading, watching sunsets, and hiking. And then her fun parenthood Mad Libs here. Always try softer, so allow yourself to not always try harder or be perfect. Remember that your kids are more resilient than you realize, and so are you. Never hesitate to ask for and offer forgiveness and grace. Don't forget to show yourself kindness and compassion. And sometimes you just have to have a second cup of coffee or a third. Eve Austin.
So that's what we look like when we're all spiffy. And I don't know if you caught, on my bio I said I have two adopted kids. So that's Maria, is one of my adopted kids. I'm going to cry. and then Sam, Adrian and Sam just got married on September 5th. So our son-in-law and daughter-in-law that we've adopted, even if their families didn't give them up for adoption, we adopted them. Just so blessed. Just looking at that picture and just thinking, yeah, of all the blessings. And this is actually left over from, where's Kelsey? Okay, the devotional on heaven. So thank you. And also terrible timing. I have been thinking tons about heaven because my mom went to heaven in January. And then my dad's getting ready to go to heaven at this moment. So it's been like 2 years of like just thinking so much about heaven and yeah, how amazing it's going to be for me. But mostly, yeah, for my folks is where my head's been going with that and like them being actually healed and whole and just like loving all the things that they get to do with Jesus and each other. So anyway, thank you. all the tears. I am super excited to be here. I know the tears are not communicating that necessarily, but I cry happy tears too. So, oh, thanks. Yeah, whole pack. Somebody get a second pack ready just in case. Now I have tears on my glasses. Yes, we do love all the things that we get to do in Idaho. It is too far away from the fam because they're all here. But it works. I got on a plane last night after work and got to Luke and Maria's late and get to play with the kids and grandkids all this week. So we are figuring out how to have good family time. Luke and Maria were with us just this last weekend to say goodbye to my dad and have some last connection with him. And so, we are a lot closer than we used to be when we were in Tajikistan and Turkey. And so I'll tell you a little bit about that because that's our backstory. And it was actually, I wanted to be a missionary. I would say from 15 on, I did a mission trip to Mexico, and the Lord put that on my heart as something that I really wanted to do. And I thought I would be a single missionary, and that's because I never met a guy who wanted to be a missionary. And so basically that my standard was he had to love Jesus and want to be a missionary, and then I would date him. And also tall, because like you understand why. But anyway, so I didn't meet any guys like that in high school or college until right at the end of college. And I met that guy, and his name is Tim. And he told me on our first date that he wanted to be a missionary. And I almost asked him to marry me right then. but thankfully, 3 months later, 3 months after our first date, he asked me to marry him. So that worked out because I was just, yeah, trying to be patient. But so we got to get married and go to Tajikistan. So that's us in the front, out in front of our house there. And that's when Emma was newborn. She's 23, or she was about 6 months old. She's 23 years old now. She's at Biola. And Adrienne is 7, and Luke is 4. And so those were fun years. We were there for 16 years. So that was all of Adrienne. She was 18 months old when we moved there. So that's all of her growing up years until she came back to the States, and she did her senior year of high school at a boarding school that she chose, and then Vanguard is where she went to college. And then we were there straight through all of Luke's middle school until the end of middle school and end of elementary for Emma. And then we moved to Istanbul, Turkey. And so Emma did all of middle school there. Luke did all of high school there and graduated high school in Istanbul, and then came back for Biola. And then we've been back in the States since then. So that's 9 years now that we've been back in America. And we're finally getting used to it here. It's a lot after living in another place for a long time. Tajikistan and Turkey are Muslim countries, and so majority Muslim context, and just our whole lives, really. That I was 25 when we moved there, so 25 to 45 is like the best chunk of my adult life. In a place where I got to love on Muslim women and their families, and I got to, we got to just have some incredible opportunities to show the love of Jesus in a really, in really dark places. So it is, something like, my dream come true. So, Adrienne asked when, we were together for my birthday in the spring, and she, I think, asked like, what's left on my bucket list kind of thing, but she didn't use the word bucket list. And I was like, I think I've actually like done everything I've ever wanted to do and more. And I know there's still amazing things ahead. I'm not like, I'm done now, you know? But you know, yeah, how incredible that the Lord just like really let me like live my dream in ministry with an amazing guy named Tim and our amazing 3 kids. Because it's a tough, it can be really tough for kiddos to grow up in those environments, just like here. I mean, there's tough stuff about here too, but I don't know, because I didn't raise my kids in California, so you guys will have to tell me about the tough stuff here. And then, of course, this is another generation, right? But in Tajikistan, when we got there in 1996, there was no internet, there weren't cell phones. There sometimes wasn't running water or electricity. So just rough in like the kind of like, you feel like you're camping sometimes, which now we love to camp, but then I didn't really love to camp. I was like, okay, I'm over it. I really need running water. But, so we got it. We got running water. But, anyway, the tough things about, or the challenges about parenting, I think span the generations and span the continents. So like, yeah, great. You have internet and cell phones here. Like, it doesn't mean that the challenges of parenting are not there. And then now there's challenges because of internet and cell phones. So in some ways, I think I had it easier in that sense because, you know, yeah, we didn't have to limit screen time because there was no screen, literally. except when we watched Little House on VHS every now and then. So So today, there's a couple scriptures that I wanted to share with you that really, and I think they're going to be up there on the screen, but this is some of the why in parenting for me. Sorry, that's really a little font, huh? That's okay. I'll read it for you or you can look it up, but some of the why in marriage and parenting, Proverbs 27:17, I love, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And so the why in this for me is I am getting really sharp. You are getting really sharp because of the iron that you're rubbing up against. And the visual is like how you used to sharpen a knife with a, I forget the word, somebody help me. But anyway, it's this long metal thing and you just like literally scrape off like tiny parts of the knife blade with it until it gets really, it's called a steel. And so I can picture my dad doing it, in the garage. But anyway, so in, we're doing that with our husbands, we're doing that with our kids. They're just like shaving off little pieces of us every day in relationship, and we're getting sharper and sharper and sharper. And it's so uncomfortable. And it's just like, okay, can I be sharp enough already? Can I be done being sharpened? And then we wake up and start over, you know, again on the next day, getting sharper, sharper, sharper. And so, and then there's Psalm 78:1-2. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, but tell them to the coming generation, the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might, and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise to tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. So another why in marriage and parenting is so that my kids can learn to put their hope in God, remember his works, and keep his commandments. So discipling, training, and nurturing my kids is my call and my purpose. Have I had other callings or other vocations or other purpose in life? Absolutely. I was just telling you some, you know, a little bit about missions in Tajikistan. Yes, that was a calling as well. But I think my first calling, even though my call to missions came before I had kids, but I think my first calling, my first purpose is and was discipling those kids. And so that can be hard to keep sight of, right, in the day-to-day, because changing diapers doesn't feel like discipleship, and wiping a snotty nose doesn't feel like discipleship, and waiting for a tantrum to settle doesn't feel like discipleship. So the big picture stuff can get lost in the shuffle of the everyday for all of us, so normal. And so I think that's a good reason why you choosing your why, you choose your scripture or your calling and purpose why, can be super helpful, because then you and have it written down, have it somewhere where you can access it. So you, in the moment when you're like, this doesn't feel like any of that big purposeful stuff that I was hoping for, you go back to it and remind yourself of, okay, that, yeah, get centered, right? There's a book that I'll just kind of give you this little nugget from it, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. It's called 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Family by Paul David Tripp, and I'll give you that later if you want it. But Ted Tripp, his brother, wrote a book called Shepherding a Child's Heart, and that book's gone out of fashion a bit. I know it was written in the 80s, and he talked a lot about why you spank your kids, or basically spare the rod, spoil the child, which, there's, you know, anyway, whatever your opinions are on what Ted Tripp said, but the nugget of it, the shepherd your child's heart or disciple your kid part of that, I think is scriptural, obviously. And then Paul, his brother, wrote this one. I forget when he wrote it, but He said, nothing is more important in your life than being one of God's tools to form a human soul. And I just the way that was worded, nothing is more important in your life than being one of God's tools to form a human soul. So the wording of that I loved, a tool in God's hand to form a human soul. And even that as a centering self-statement, you know, when stuff's kind of going haywire at home and you're like, I'm a tool in God's hand. I'm forming a human soul, you know? And so something that kind of can bring our mind back to what is the purpose, right, in this. So let's see what I haven't covered there. Okay. So in my Mad Libs, the first one was always remember to try softer. And so I just wanted to circle back on that for a minute. Has anyone read the book Try Softer? The author is Andy Kolber. No. Yeah. Okay. So I'll just give you the concept because I know you don't have tons of time for reading, but it's also audiobook, of course. There's a lot of different forms, but it is one of my favorites. Can somebody read those off the board? The Try Softer Chicken. Yeah, I forgot. Sorry. Misaligned Priorities. Yeah, and the hit, what usually takes the hit is our own heart, soul, mind, and body, because the kids are okay. They're all alive and well. Hubs, he's usually okay. He's usually good, right? So lowering the bar is really counterintuitive, especially if we've spent our whole life trying harder. And so trying softer, and I'm telling you, this was so hard for me. And it is still, I'm better at it, but good grief, I'm 54 and, you know, yeah, I've been practicing for a little while, but especially the young mom me. I was 24 when Adrienne was born. She's 30 now. And the young mom me was just trying harder. And then she was 18 months old when we moved there. And then I'm supposed to learn a new language and tell everybody I see about Jesus, even though I can't speak their language yet, and learn how to live in a developing country that I, you know, yeah, just all the things. And so in missions and a lot of times in ministry, the message is also try harder because people are seeing what you do. And honestly, what feels good in ministry and missions and motherhood is when people are like, oh, good job. Like, your kids are so well behaved, or, oh my goodness, you did such a great job with that, you know, ministry event or whatever. And then it's like, oh, affirmation feels good. And now I'm going to raise the bar even more because I want more affirmation. And then, yeah, where does that end? It's just me trying harder all the time. And then all of these things that we named, right? Like, yeah, and burnout, I think, was the first word that came out, which is, yeah, 100%. I mean, everything you guys said is 100%. But I don't know if you guys knew the symptoms of burnout and the symptoms of depression are the same. Burnout is essentially mild depression. You guys okay with a little psych break here? Okay. Can't help myself as a marriage and family therapist. But basically, I didn't really want to talk about this, and I told the Lord, no, thank you, but he told me, yes, please. And so symptoms of depression are mild, moderate, and severe is how we, in psychology, how we quantify them, let's say. And so basically, in my early days in Tajikistan, I definitely was depressed, had some symptoms of depression that I would now, I wasn't a therapist then, but now I would diagnose myself with a moderate depression. And why did I not know that I was depressed, or why did I not seek help? You guys tell me. First of all, why do you think I didn't know I was depressed? Okay, I was sleep deprived. Yeah, because Adrienne was 18 months old. She was sleeping pretty good. And a few months after we got there, I ended up pregnant with Luke. So as you all know, it just all rolls together in one big grand event. Yes, I needed to try harder. Yeah, and I gotta repeat this, because I had blessings in my life, and to admit that I was depressed. Admitting I wasn't happy, or yeah, right, because, yes, not being content, yeah, what else? Ungrateful, right, yeah, because I'm living my dream, right? I told you that at the start, like my dream came true. I got to be a missionary, and I'm super depressed, and I don't know if I still want to be here, because it's really hard, you know? And then simultaneously, Tim was quite depressed and having tons of conflict with other missionaries that they brought him into the middle of. It wasn't his conflict. It was a leadership team that he got brought onto to mitigate and mediate the conflict. He was 29 years old and brand new to the field and yeah, just way in over his head. And so that resulted in depression for him, because that's what usually happens, is when we raise the bar, and day after day, we can't hit that mark. So it feels like failure. So if day after day, I feel like I've failed, and maybe the kids are fed and happy and the house is clean, but I didn't get to study language today, or I didn't get to go visit the neighbor I meant to visit to hopefully, you know, shine Jesus light in her home or whatever. Failure. And then tomorrow I wake up and try again, and failure and failure and failure. And then, yeah, anxiety and depression are usually the outcome. And that's basically it's our system, our heart, soul, mind, and body, because we're whole beings, right? Holistically looking at things. It's our system trying to fill that gap between this is what I think I should do and this is what I do. And then it tries to make up that gap and it can't. And then something chemically actually is going to shift in our bodies, because our body will start to secrete more of the hormones that it thinks it needs to help balance the load. And then after a while, our body's like, I actually can't do that anymore for you. I can do it for you for a little while. And thank the Lord, that's the way he created our systems, but they're not meant to make up that gap or try to fill that gap day after day for years. So, and any questions about that? Because I feel like that's a lot of info, but any questions? Okay, all right. So back to these questions, I have them in my journal now. For the last few years. And sometimes I just read through them and I pick out one of those. And I'm actually way better, like the one that says, what support do I need today? I've actually gotten way better at that too. Like asking Tim for help, or asking a colleague for help, or asking my therapist for help, that kind of thing. So, the other thing I was going to say about the early years in Tajikistan is, yeah, I didn't know I was depressed, just kept plugging away. There was no kind of mental health support. And so it's not like it was even an option. So I do want to say that. And I already told you we don't have internet. We didn't have internet. So it's before like telehealth or online,